In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak. This morning, I would like to share with you some of the message from the Bible for mutual encouragement. Shall we refer to the book of Matthew chapter 28? The book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, verse 10-20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This was a great commission given by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciple before his ascension, to preach the gospel to all nations and to make disciples among all the nations. And True Jesus Church has been entrusted by the Lord to carry out this great commission. According to Mark chapter 16, those who believe and baptize will be saved. So this commission is to do something with the salvation. The salvation in this life and the salvation in the life to come. In other words, if a person been saved in this life, he can enjoy abundant blessing of God. And in the life to come, he's going to be together with the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other side of salvation is eternal condemnation and alienation from the source of all kind of blessing. So the Lord Jesus Christ had commissioned to every one of us to carry out this great task. Let us ask ourselves one question. Are we satisfied with the evangelical work we have been doing in our church? When we look into TJC in USA as a whole, or in particular in Garden Grove Church, according to the NCC statistics, the growth rate in United States is around 6%, which means if our church have 200 active members, the annual baptized members is around 6%, is around 12 people. Are we satisfied with 6% of growth rate spiritually? If we want to narrow down, right now, Garden Grove Church will separate into so-called English sermon or Chinese sermon. We are heading towards the right direction because the English sermon is easier to understand, and this should be the future trend of TJC because most of people are going to be English speaking in the next few years when the youth start to grow up. But let us think about ever since we start the English ministry until here, until now, how many were baptized? I believe we all have a heart try to do something for the Lord. We try to break through the barrier to reach out to the English-speaking community. But it seems we are facing a great challenge and great difficulties. And these difficulties make us to have some kind of reflection and try to realign our strategy, what should we do, so that we can carry out Great Commission even more effectively. While we are thinking, pondering, and planning, we have to come back to the Bible to see what is the answer. If we can follow the teaching of the Bible, we will be able to be very fruitful in carrying out His commission. And what was the instruction of Jesus Christ beside He told a disciple to make disciple all nations? Let's refer to another verse. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. Luke chapter 24, verse 48. Then he opened to their mind. Let me see. Okay, 24, Luke, verse 48. You are witness of all these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Remember that Jesus asked his disciple to go all nation to preach the gospel. Go to all nation means you must be proactive. You must take action. If all the disciples stay in Jerusalem, how can the gospel be spread to all nations? So the disciple had to take some kind of action to do it. And actually, they have been spending time with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. They have been taught by Jesus Christ, and they have been witnessing how Jesus Christ preach gospel. So right now it is time for them to go after Jesus' ascension. So before Jesus sent them to go, Jesus commanded you have to stay in the city. Stay means you should not move. You should keep in a place where you are. But it seems it is contradicted with Jesus' commission that I want to send you to make disciples of all nations. And Jesus commanded the disciples to stay in the city until. Until means there is a time limit. There's a time specified. When you reach to that kind of timing, then you can go. And what is the timing? They should go out and preach the gospel. Until you have been clothed with the power from high. So that is the moment you can take action, and your action will be very powerful. So this is the formula Jesus has been given to the disciple. Yes, you have to go and preach the gospel, but you have to go until you receive the power from above. Imagine if the disciple, without the power from above, and they try to do a lot of planning, they try to do a lot of things, what is going to happen? You look into how Peter break through the difficulty of evangelical work in his moment. How? Peter did not rely on his own background. Actually, he has no background at all. He was a fisherman. He did not have any noble family background. He was not well educated. He was not very rich, especially after he abandoned everything to follow Jesus. It seems he was like Jesus Christ. He had no condition to attract anybody. However, when Peter stood up and delivered a sermon, his message was so powerful. 3,000 people's heart was cut by this two-edged sword, the words of God. So they asked Peter a question, what should we do? And Peter commanded, you have to repent and be baptized. And they follow Peter's instruction. Can you imagine, most of people don't like to hear the words of repentance. If you are children, do you like your father to tell you, you have to repent? Repent means you have done something wrong. Repent means you have sinned. Repent means you have to change your lifestyle. So repentance sometimes is very difficult because we always get used to what I am. We always get used to my lifestyle. And to do some kind of change, especially to admit you have done something wrong, you have sinned, is not easy. But when Peter demanded them to repent, they follow. How come Peter was so powerful? Because he was enclosed with authority from above. Today, let us look into the real situation. We may hold some kind of activity, carnival or some kind of garage on sale. You can attract a lot of people and you can keep their name. So we can give a report. Right now we have a so-called friend, not truth seeker, 50, 60, or 70. But in terms of how many of them is really come to attend the evangelical service, you really come back to the church and kneel down and pray together with us to receive the Holy Spirit, I believe the percentage is lower than 10%. Even is lower than 5%. No. The percentage is so low. So how come we have been attracting a lot of people to the church, the yard, to attend a lot of activity, but we were unable to convert them? I think the key point is authority. Do we receive certain type of authority? If we do, the holy work can break through. We don't have the authority, then we are doing God's business without authority. We are like doing, like Peter was preaching without authority. We are like an apostolic church without authority. Then, can you imagine what kind of church that will be? Can you imagine what kind of evangelical work it will be? Oh. So when they emphasize a lot of planning, I think the most important planning is how to promote the spirit of prayer. This is the fundamental. If we don't emphasize on the fundamental, if we don't start from the fundamental, then it's very difficult for us to break through. But on another words, if we start from the fundamental, start to pray, and fervent prayer, really involve ourselves in deep prayer, and clothed with the power and authority from above, then we are going to see the ministry of God will change. We are going to see our English ministry will be different. Next year will be different from this year. And 2 years later will be different from 1 year later. Because we have been empowered by the authority of God. But if we do not acquire that kind of authority, very frankly, next year will be the same with this year. 3 years later will be the same with this year. Because we are engaging in spiritual battle. So we are not fighting by our own power. We are fighting by the power of God. And that power of God comes from prayer, very deep and profound prayer, communication with the Lord. Let's see 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4. The weapon we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish stronghold. Verse 5. We demolish argument and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Verse 6, and we were ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Paul mentioned about his experience of promoting God's ministry. He tells us a secret. The secret to win the soul is to carry a spiritual weapon. And this weapon is very powerful. And this weapon is enable us to demolish all the stronghold set by Satan. And this stronghold set by Satan, not in outside, but inside a person's heart. So quite often you can see the friend come to the church, they listen to the gospel, and they feel it's very good. But how about next? I have to study more. How about next? Study a few months, still indecisive. Because there's a hindrance in the heart. And who can remove the hindrance? The hindrance can be removed only through the help of God, through the power of God. And that power is the secret of our spiritual battle, is the weapon of our spiritual battle. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit. If we look into the statistic in NCC report, you can see some of the churches, the growth rate are pretty high. You look into that individual local churches, you're going to discover this one common phenomenon. They emphasize a lot of prayer. They emphasize a lot of prayer. Even 2 months before the spiritual convocation, the church council make a decision, announce to the public, we encourage all the church members at least fast and pray for the evangelical service 1 meal a week, not 1 meal a day, 1 meal a week. And the church council member, they set themselves as an example. Every week, they fast and pray for 1 meal. And you can look into the church, the prayer room, during the lunchtime. Always, you can hear somebody fasting and prayer. Some people in praying. So this kind of church has been empowered by the authority of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So this kind of church is very easy to promote the holy work and spiritual work. So what should we do? I think judging from the teaching of the Bible and also the experience of TJC in USA, we have to start to promote the spirit of prayer. Let us look into our practical schedule. If we look into our schedule, from 11 to 11.45 is a sermon. From 11.45 to 12 is hymn singing. From 12 to 12.10 is prayer. Okay. So if we follow the schedule, which means every Sabbath we come to the church, we only pray for 10 minutes. We only pray for 10 minutes. Of course, we have so-called the prayer in spirit from 12:20, 10:20 to 10:50, 30 minutes. This is a very wonderful planning. But let's face the reality. When it is in 10:20 to 10:50, where are we? This is a real question. We have to challenge ourselves. When we think somebody needs to do something, always, if there's something happened, always somebody say, somebody has to do something. And we forgot, somebody is I. Somebody is me. We all want the church to grow. We all understand the teaching of the Bible. We have to pray. Somebody has to pray it. And who is somebody? It's I. It's you. It's every one of us. So if we can follow our schedule, I believe this schedule has been agreed upon by everybody. We come and pray at 10:20 to 10:50. We have 30 minutes fervent prayer, just most of our praying so hard in the temple, in the chapel. I believe the English ministry is going to grow, and it's going to grow powerfully. It's going to edify a lot of congregation. It's going to transform a lot of people's life if we really do it. Not only theoretically understand it, not only theoretical planning in the paper. If we really do it, we need action. It is wonderful when I received the email that we are going to emphasize in prayer. It's wonderful. So we have different sermon topic focus in same theme, focus in prayer. It's wonderful. After we understand all this importance of prayer, if we really put into action to do it, you are going to see the benefit a lot. But let us look in from the other side. If we all understand the importance of prayer, but we are inactive to do what we understand from the teaching of the Bible, then our understanding is only stay in the knowledge. Knowledge itself puffs up. Only action can really make the church to grow. In the last 4 years of NYTS, I've been attending the NYTS from the first year until the last year. It's more than 10 years. In the first few years, we tried to be very lenient. I tried to be very considerate. So we tried to reduce the time of prayer and put it in a volunteer basis. But it seems it's not very edifying. Some really come with heart and they are edified. But most of people, they not come with heart. They feel it's nothing special. So a lot of people come late, a lot of people left earlier. But after 4 years ago, before 4 years, 4 years ago, USGA tried to adopt a policy. We are going to enforce very strict discipline. You have to enroll in a certain time. If you don't enroll, you will be rejected. You have to stay in 1 week. And during the stay of the 2 weeks, there are certain rules you have to obey. If we look into that life, that kind of living condition and the rule, you're going to see, is it more strict than the boot camp in the army? But in the last 4 years, you see so many youth life has been transformed. So right now, when you open the registration of NYT, you can see a lot of people in the first day, they already registered their name. Why? Because they are afraid. They were unable to get into the registration. We look into the last 4 years NYTS. We emphasize a lot of prayer. And fasting prayer become a mandatory. If you have a physical condition or medical reason, you can have breakfast. Otherwise, we encourage everybody to pray. And because of this long prayer and very dedicated prayer, we can see in the last days, almost all the attendants, their reflection is how wonderful we are to be here. How wonderful we are to be here. Let's come from the bottom of their heart. And that was the words spoken by Peter when he went into the top of the mountain of transfiguration. We know on the top of the mountain there was nothing, but in the city there is everything. Who created the mountain? It is God who created the mountain. Who created the city? It is man who created the city. Who destroyed the city first? It is God who destroyed the city. Why God destroyed the city of Sodom, the city of Sodom? Because the city was full with evil, or full with sin. So God destroyed the city. What does that mean to us? They have to climb up to the top of the mountain to behold the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? When you climb up to the top of mountain, first, is spend time. Maybe it takes 1 hour, 2 hours, or 1 day. The second, you have to make effort. The longer you spend time, the more effort you put into it, the higher you are going to climb, and the closer you will be together with God. So if somebody asks a question, How long should I pray? You go through Genesis to the book of Revelation, you can never find a verse say you have to pray for 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 1 hour. You can never find a verse tell you how long should you pray. How come prayer is so important and the Bible never tell us how long should we pray? Oh, this is a very interesting question we have to ask about ourselves. Because the answer is, how closer do you want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? How deep your prayer will be? This should be the fundamental question. If we want your prayer to be deeper and deeper, you need to spend more time. If we want to be closer to the Lord, we have to spend more time. Just like climb up to the mountain. The higher you climb, the further away you depart from the mundane world. The higher you climb, the closer you will be together with your Father in heaven, with the one you love, with the one who loves you. The farther you climb, your heart will become purer and purer. So that is the reason a lot of city people, the people live in the city, need to climb to the top of the mountain to refresh themselves mentally, refresh themselves spiritually. So when we pray, we kneel down and pray continuously in depth. All of a sudden, it seems time is not so important anymore. When you see God face by face, when you experience God is talking with you, you are talking with God, and you are filled with the spring of joy in your heart, time doesn't matter. Yes, physically, prayer may make you pain physically. But when you really experience the joy, that physical pain becomes so momentary. That physical pain becomes endurable. So quite often we heard the truth seeker or remember when they were filled by the Holy Spirit. They feel that time is nothing. When we study the topic related to the prayer, I think eventually we have to come to a conclusion. We need to take action. We have to spend more time to do it. If we look into the book of Acts, we talk about the second important breakthrough of this holy work. The first important breakthrough is Acts chapter 2. Breakthrough from the persecution of Judaism. That comes from the same group of fellow people, the Jews. The second important breakthrough is coming from in the book of Acts chapter 10. It's breakthrough of the ethnical burial. When you read the Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9, you can see all the members are Jews. So if you read the Acts chapter 1 to chapter 9, you are asking a question. How come if apostolic church is a true church, how come all the member is still the Jews? But when it reached to Acts chapter 10, the gospel breaks through to the non-Jews, right? To the Cornelius, to the Greek. The same thing. So we keep on pounding a question. How can we break through the barrier and introduce the gospel to the people in America? All different kind of background, all different kind of culture. If you look into our church NCC report from 1980s until 2003, there was a numerous discussion about how to break through the evangelical work in American society. Yes, there was a lot of discussion. There was a lot of resolution. But it seems we make no progress at all. What is the key point we should do? I think besides do whatever we can do, still we have to come to the same fundamental. we need to have more prayer. Ask God guide us and ask God to give us power to break through this barrier. Of course, we have to wait for God's timing. When God's timing is ripe, you are going to see everything is going to proceed very smoothly. Right now, we have quite a few of the examples the conversion to TJC through the internet. You know that there was a couple in Oregon. The couple searched for a true church in the website, and they come out with a true Jesus church. And the husband called USGA, and they don't USGA arrange somebody to talk with them. And then they have a few conversation with our ministers, and they realize this is a true church. And the husband come to the Pacifica Church first and study the truth and understand the truth and receive the Holy Spirit and were baptized. And later on, the wife was baptized too. We feel that to convert this couple, it seems so easy. Just make a few phone calls, and when they come, we spend a period of time to talk with them, and they believe, and they baptized. Yes, the holy work are supposed to be very easy if God really walk with us. If God don't walk with us, you are going to see it. You put a lot of effort, it seems no result. If God walk with us, you are going to see it seems so easy. You talk and somebody knocks the head and you ask and they say, yes, we want to be baptized. How come it's so easy? Because the power of God has moved their heart. It's changing their thought. It's transformed them. So it's so easy. Even in the other church, TJC in other location, quite often, if the Holy Spirit is really working, you're going to see, you invite the true seekers, it's so easy. You make a phone call and invite them, and they come, and they sit down, and they listen, and God open their heart, and they understand. And when they understand, they realize so precious it is. And when they understand, they kneel down, and they receive Holy Spirit. And when they receive Holy Spirit, they know there is God, and God is here, and God is with me. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, their eye opened. They understand the most important thing in the life is to pursue salvation. Everything in the world compared with Jesus Christ, it becomes garbage. Only salvation is unique. Only salvation is the number one priority in the life. How come their change is so easy? Because the work of God is with us. So Paul say, the Bible say, I sow the seed, right? And Apollo water, who make it grow? It is God who make it grow. It is not you. It is not me. It is God who make it grow. So, we have been doing our best to sow the seed. We have been doing our best to water, to do the follow-up work. But one thing, the key issue we have to address is try to make God walk with us. Now, and if we want to God walk with us, there's only one fundamental way. It's through prayer. We never say him singing is not important. It's really important. It touches a lot of people's soul. It transforms a lot of people's spirituality. But in the Bible, we can never see any place say him singing can substitute prayer. You can never find one verse. If we read the book of Acts, the only place you can see the hymn singing is when Paul and Silas was in prison. They are hymn singing and praise the Lord. And the hymn singing was so powerful, even the prison was shaken. That, I think, the only one place. From Acts chapter 1 until chapter 8, chapter 10, all the way onwards, you can see a lot of emphasizing prayer. It's good for us to love to him singing, because him singing can calm your spirit. It's better than you sing the popular music, right? popular music, after you sing it, you will lose your spirituality. You will erode your spirituality. You become a spiritual person without backbone. Oh, if you sing the popular song too much. So him singing is good. Oh, if you sing the hymn sing, your heart is calmed down. But it can never substitute the prayer. Oh. So while we are emphasizing him singing, we have to emphasize more in prayer. Oh. Oh. I have never heard any miracle happen because of him singing. Of course, the Bible did mention about that. But we do heard a lot after fervent prayer. The miracle happened in that right spot, in that right moment. Oh. Oh. So it's good we emphasize him singing, but it will be better if we emphasize more in prayer, in spirit. Because this is the treasure God has been given to TJC. This is the treasure. You visit all different websites. How many churches really receive Holy Spirit? How many? 99% of the Christianity don't have Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is a power of God as being given to His body, the true church. So right now, we have this kind of tool in our hand. That all depends on how are we going to utilize the tool God gives to us. So I would like to give a conclusion. Prayer is so important. We can never afford to neglect. If we emphasize on more, you are going to see the ministry of God will be changed. If emphasize more, we are going to see even our own life will be transformed. We think about Jesus Christ promised, "My joy will be in you, and your joy can be fulfilled." Jesus Christ promised us, "Those who are heavily burdened, come to me. I will let you rest." Jesus Christ promised us, "In the world you have trouble, but in me you have peace." Jesus Christ promised us, "The truth will set you free." So let us think about so many wonderful promises by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to enjoy total freedom. He wants us to be enjoying the rest. But how much have we really received it? If we pray a lot, our life has been transformed. We draw ourselves closer to God. Then you are going to see our life will be filled with peace, joy, and tranquility. Because the kingdom of God already fulfilled in our heart. Because the Holy Spirit has been filled upon our heart. So it's very important. This is for our mutual encouragement. May the Lord bless you. Yeah.